Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to On Deadline, your radio news from Odyssey newsrooms across the country. I'm Christy Strasser, managing editor of news for Odyssey. And today we're going to talk about two stories that were ripped from the headlines, as they say, that are stranger than fiction. Those stories are the heist at the Louvre and the gambling fiasco that ensnared high-profile people in the NBA. Let's kick things off with the Louvre, a true crime that has launched a million memes. Picture Pink Panther-style reenactments of how someone could break into one of the world's most precious, crowded museums and walk out with crown jewels in broad daylight. Oh, and then descend a long, slow ladder that was right out there in public to get away. Here's KCBS with the latest on the Louvre and how in the world this could have happened.
Paris prosecutors today are saying that the crown jewels stolen from the Louvre are estimated to be worth more than $100 million, and they've got 100 investigators on the case. For more, we're joined live, Aaron Thompson, professor of art crime at City University of New York. We'll talk about being right in your wheelhouse, right?
Exactly.
So when I first heard about this on Sunday, I was thinking about an episode of Lupin, the French burglar that is on Netflix. I mean, is this art as imitating, you know, life, or is this, I mean, what surprises you about this?
Well, the thing about movies and TV about art crime is they make it look a lot harder than it is. Museums have usually pretty terrible security. And the Louvre is a historic building. You can't knock it down and build the secure facility. So it has big, beautiful windows looking out over the street, which were used to rob it in this occasion.
When you found out, because everybody's kind of like, you know, analyzing what they did, they used sort of like this cherry picker thing and drove it right up to the edge of the museum and then just cut through the glass with, you know, a disc cutter. It seems pretty, not very sophisticated.
Well, what's surprising to me is there are actually a lot of daytime thefts for museums, but most people just buy a ticket and walk in like everybody else. The museum's open. So I'm kind of surprised they went to so much trouble, although it did give them a pretty good escape route.
Yeah, because they got away on, what, scooters with you know, like, yep, jewelry hanging out of their pockets?
Well, they dropped a crown, which is not really a super pro behavior. And more worrisome for them, they left behind one of their motorcycle helmets. So I'm sure police are working overtime to find the DNA evidence on that.
Yeah, I heard that there was DNA evidence on the crown or the jewelry that was left behind. And I wonder, is there some Interpol database of international art thieves?
Well, there's very few people who make a living stealing from museums. It's usually a pretty stupid thing to do, because if you steal the Mona Lisa, say, the first time you try and go and sell it, somebody's going to say, let me just go call the police. So the people who hit museums are usually professional burglars, but they steal from homes, from apartments, from shops. So that's the type of suspect that the police are likely looking at, is professional jewelry thieves.
Yeah, I was thinking, I read that they are probably going to try and, you know, disassemble the jewelry and sell the stones and maybe melt down the gold or something like that, which, you know, it takes into account the actual value of it, but there's the historical value as well.
Yeah, but it's just easier to get away with something if you're selling a blob of gold rather than an identifiable piece of jewelry. A few years ago, a Pennsylvania man was caught. He robbed sports memorabilia museums across America for 2 decades and then just melted down all of the trophies. He stole all of Yogi Berra's World Series rings, and they were worth over $1 million on the memorabilia market, but he only got about $10,000 for the gold in them.
Why aren't museums better secure?
Well, think about it. Where else can you go and get your nose within a couple inches of things that are worth millions of dollars? You can't go be a tourist in Fort Knox. Museums are sort of weird places where we're supposed to be in a calm, contemplative environment next to priceless objects without an armed guard breathing down our necks. So there's only so much they can do. And a lot of museums really depend upon the fact that you're going to get caught if you steal things from display, recognizable paintings or sculptures. So they sacrifice a little in security to make it a more welcoming space for art lovers.
I wonder why the Louvre, because it feels like a really high-profile smash and grab, because you don't see them doing this at the Tower of London.
Well, actually, a few years ago, a functioning toilet made out of 18-karat gold by the artist Maurizio Cattelan was taken out of Blenheim Palace in the UK and immediately melted down. So really, any place where you've got a tempting amount of goodies on display is a security risk.
Based on your experience, what do you think is going to happen next? Are they going to find these people, or are they ever going to retrieve the goods?
In cases like this, the people who actually are the guys who go in, who do the dirty work, are hired hands. They are almost always caught using security footage, traffic cams, rental car receipts, DNA evidence. So they are probably not very wise to take the sort of job. The masterminds who hire them are much more rarely caught, and then almost never do you recover the stolen goods if they are able to be disassembled, melted down. Really, our only hope is that they'll get into a fight about the larger gems, which have to be recut, and maybe turn each other in. That happened when gems were stolen from the American Museum of Natural History in New York.
Another storyline Hollywood loves is seedy gambling rings. And here we turn to this story. Portland Trail Blazers head coach Chauncey Billups and Miami Heat guard Terry Rozier are among more than 30 people charged in connection with schemes involving illegal sports, betting, and rigged poker games backed by mafia. The indictments are related to two major cases, one involving sports betting and the second involving rigged poker games. Here's more on that from KCBS.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Today, federal officials are sharing details of a global investigation that busted a multi-million-dollar gambling operation with ties to NBA figures and organized crime. Among those arrested, Trailblazers coach, 2024 NBA Hall of Fame inductee Chauncey Billups, and 10-year veteran point guard Terry Rozier. This comes months after the NBA concluded its own gambling investigation. To help us break down what this means for the sports world, we're joined live by independent sports journalist June Lee, whose work has appeared in the New York Times, ESPN, and the Washington Post. Our Stephen Langford is also here. Investigation was called Operation Royal Flush. What can you tell us about how it went down?
Yeah, so over the course of the last few years, there's been investigations into Terry Rozier in particular. That was made public a few years ago into whether or not he was using these prop bets, which are bets on small actions that can happen within a sports game. And there were some bets that were made that kind of caught the eye of federal investigators and regulators that seemed unusual. There was a game when Terry Rozier was playing for the Charlotte Hornets where he exited with a foot injury, and there were a particular number of bets that profited greatly off of Rozier leaving that game. As a result, federal investigators began looking into Rozier, and they discovered a gambling ring that involved former Cleveland Cavaliers assistant coach Damon Jones. That was also in connection to illegal poker games that are happening in conjunction with the New York City Italian Mafia that also implicated Portland Trail Blazers head coach Chauncey Billups, who was coaching a game as recently as last night.
Yeah, unbelievable stuff. And June, great to talk with. As far as Rozier's arrest, the previous NBA investigation found he didn't violate any of their rules. What exactly happened there? Did the NBA not do enough digging? Did the NBA maybe even sweep this one under the rug as sports betting was rapidly rising? I'm very confused with the Rozier situation.
I don't have any original reporting on what happened with the NBA investigation, so I don't want to speculate that on that in particular. What I will say is that the optics for the NBA doing their own investigation, that reporting then getting leaked out to ESPN over the course of the last year or so, and then after the NBA, quote unquote, clearing Terry Rozier, the FBI coming in and arresting Terry Rozier, is a very, very bad look for the NBA, because so much of the language that has existed around sports gambling since its legalization and the mass adoption of the sports gambling apps across the country has been, you know, this is something that allows us to better regulate and better get a sense of when illegal things may or may not be happening. If the NBA looked at the situation and found nothing, and it turns out the federal investigators are coming in and finding something different, it speaks poorly to the NBA's ability to regulate itself and find bad actors within the system.
Gambling on sports is everywhere now. It's legal in many locations, not in California, but you have DraftKings and the like. Is that just exacerbating a problem that's been around as long as there's been sports?
I think that there's a larger cultural shift that's happening in the United States right now. I'm actually working on an op-ed for the New York Times on this topic and have been leading up to this moment, so the timing is kind of serendipitous there. But it's a situation where I think that throughout all of our culture currently, I think that there's this gambling mindset that has taken over. I mean, I think one of the things that really kind of blew this out of, blew my mind in regards to how much gambling culture has taken over was when the assassination of Charlie Kirk took place. And I remember seeing tweets about Kalshi and Pauly Market, these speculation markets that are essentially gambling apps about pretty much anything that can happen in the world, taking down their markets on Charlie Kirk's political future, whether or not he might run for president one day. And so we're living in this world where it's not just the ability to gamble on sports, you can gamble on the future of politicians. There was speculation about whether or not Vladimir Zelensky would wear a suit again to the White House. I was walking down the street here in New York City, and you can see these ads for Kalshi and Pauly Market that are putting the odds up for whether or not Zora Mamdani is going to beat Andrew Cuomo in the mayor's race. This is not just a situation that is limited to just sports now. This gambling mindset, I think, has pervaded almost all of our culture, and I think is emblematic of just how much our engagement with our society now is tied to whether or not we can make a financial return from the results of how things happen in our world.
And especially with prop bets in sports, it got to the point where the NBA commissioner Adam Silver went on ESPN and called on his partners to decrease the amount of prop bets that you can place. But will this type of thing, if this continues to snowball, will it impact the partnerships with the likes of FanDuel or DraftKings, which have been partners of the NBA since 2021?
I mean, we'll see, because a huge part of the reason why the NBA was able to get more money for its broadcasting rights, whether it's with NBC or with Amazon, and this is true across all the sports leagues, you know, even though ratings aren't necessarily up enormously, sports gambling has been a huge savior to the industry due to television ratings falling because of cable cutting. And sports betting has kind of been the solution that the leagues themselves have presented to themselves as, here's how we make back the money that we're not making from cable and people who don't watch sports subsidizing the broadcast of NBA games, MLB games, NFL games. And so they're in this really tight position now where a lot of these broadcast partners have major sports gambling advertisements. Most sports media podcasts, most sports podcasts have gambling advertising on it. A lot of the industry is completely, in large ways, is funded by sports media, sports media funneling people towards gambling. And so there is a larger systemic issue here where I feel a lot of the media is compromised in being able to talk about this issue because they take so much money from sports gambling. And that's just kind of a reflection of the state of the media industry as a whole, where, you know, people don't want to lose their jobs. Understandably so. I was part of the ESPN layoffs in 2023. And as a result, there's just less conversation about how much gambling is changing our relationship to sports.
This latest investigation involves NBA veterans, a Hall of Fame player and coach, Chauncey Billups, among those tied up in this. But are you concerned about younger athletes, too? Is gambling permeating the college ranks, even high school, which has turned into big business?
Yeah, I'm concerned just about how much this gambling mindset is changing the way that people play sports. I talk to athletes who say that regardless of how well they perform, good or bad, they're getting harassed in their DMs on social media because, you know, someone is always losing. If they pitch well, someone is losing. If they pitch poorly, someone is losing. And I think that it's changing our relationship to fandom. You know, the way that people used to root for their favorite teams or their favorite players, people are now primarily rooting for their bets. And I think that that in itself, I think, is shifting our relationship to sports as well. And I think one of the things that really concerns me is how much this has become normalized among young people in America. This is their way to engage with sports, and they don't necessarily know anything different. And I think that when sports is framed in such a transactional lens, I think it takes out a lot of the soul of what has made it special. Like, ultimately, why I love following sports is following the long arcs of my favorite team, the satisfaction of following a team rebuild itself and potentially win a championship. You know, when someone engages with sports primarily through the lens of sports betting, those stories don't necessarily hold the same value. And I think that it changes the way that you engage with in the world and with your own life.
Chad Hartman at WCCO Radio in Minneapolis has interesting thoughts about how the gambling scandal highlights a problem with young men today. Disconnection, disaffection, and more. Here's Chad.
Nihilism, and what Luger wrote about over the weekend in the Star Tribune, and what he explained with us yesterday, where there are millions and millions of people who are just constantly looking to prey on people. In this case, plenty of them are younger, but there is, and it's just not a small group, we have evil. Like, we still have such a high percentage of very good people. And I'm not even in any way alluding to, well, you're to the right or left, right? You can have evil within that. But this is apolitical.
Yeah. Nihilism. That's what he was talking about.
This is nihilism where they get joy, get pleasure, get sexual pleasure on playing this out. Think about this when they're working together to convince a person who is facing mental health issues, extraordinarily depressed, lonely, you name it, and they're trying to check another box by convincing someone to end their life.
And film it.
And film it.
And then have it posted to these websites that he was talking about where,
yes,
for some reason, people go to watch.
Where others are every bit as excited just to watch it. Then We have the tens of millions of younger individuals who, for a combination of reasons, number one is this thing, the phone again. COVID played a part, but let's not act like this wasn't going on well before COVID, where the thought of going out and interacting with society, with civilization, they're repulsed by that. They're afraid of that. They feel like it's unnecessary. You got another story today about Gen Z and sex, right?
Mm-hmm.
Want to explain that one?
Well, we've had stories for months now about how Gen Z is just not having the relationships and the amount of sex, literally, that previous generations did. And the story today is not only that, they're not interested in watching movie and TV shows that have sex, relationship drama, things like that.
Yeah. It's the phone debate and the social media debate. How long could all of us function without our phone? And then I will still defend many, many aspects of social media, which make our life better. But to deny the power it has on those who you never thought they could get to, or the ones you worried about, it's everywhere. And this ties back to not as much the poker part with Chauncey, but the betting. And yes, it's Damon Jones. Yes, it's Terry Rozier. But unless there is a radical step back, and I think the chances are zero, don't you? I don't think this is going to be Adam Silver, Gary Bettman, Rob Manfred, and Roger Goodell say, we're giving up billions, basically, and we're out of the business.
Yeah. Move the Raiders back to Oakland.
Yeah, we're done with
Take
Vegas.
Take the Golden Knights, send them somewhere. No, there's way too much money.
And, again, a couple texts, you know, why are you surprised? I didn't say I was surprised, but you can anticipate something happening or the possibility and then still be like, whoa, it finally happened.
Yeah, it's not like this hasn't happened before.
And
many, many, many decades ago,
yes,
athletes were being...
Oh, God, yeah. And so how many others were pursued? I mean, you think Terry Rozier and Damon Jones, that's it? Come on. Class A with the Guardians, come on. How many others are still doing it right now and the authorities just don't know about it? And will this even cause them to step back? And as a texter said, we got in this debate a little bit ago where there is a bill being debated now to allow college athletes to bet on pro sports. You're kidding me, right? We really need more of that? Is that right? My 35-year-old son and his friends talk about online gambling as if it's an investment, like putting money into a retirement account.
Oh, my.
I bet there are, again, not exaggerating, tens of millions of parents who could say the same thing. Don't ever gamble on sports. I'm reading your text here. I agree. Shouldn't be able to do it on the phone. Should have to go to place and get rid of all the bets on the little things, the prop bet, just in whether a team wins or loses. Would the league ever look, leagues ever say, we're going to keep the huge partnerships, but we're going to separate from the prop bets? That this is something we've, you know, they've debated this in meetings endlessly. Is this one area where they would draw the line? Because it also costs them a lot of money.
I can't see them making that decision.
What if there was another announcement next week? What if it's a second set? Like, in this case, it was more Major League Baseball, because we know what's happening, right?
To wrap things up, here's a legal expert with the details of the NBA investigation on The Dave Glover Show.
Attorney Brad Young joins us. Hey, Brad.
Hey, Dave.
Give us your legal analysis of this NBA scandal.
Well, there's two parts of it, and I'm sorry I didn't get to hear your earlier discussion on it, because I do have to keep track of billable hours. but no, there's two parts of this. One was this part where they were using insider sports information to bet on games, like when LeBron James was going to miss part of a game, and they could use that information to bet on what's called proposition or prop bets on how he would do over and under, you know, how many points that LeBron's going to score in a game. They were using that. That's part one.
Yeah, that was Daniel Jones. That was the retired player who was
at the time
a Lakers player and was passing information about health status. Yeah.
Yeah, and then the second part of it is really like something out of a movie or the show Poker Face, if you've ever watched that, where some of these guys, because they had big names, and in particular Damon Jones was also in there, but they would have these poker games in New York, Miami, a couple places in California and elsewhere, where they would invite rich people to come and play poker, but they were using X-ray machines that were built into the tables to read the cards.
Wow.
They had electronic sensors inside the cards. They had modified the deck shuffling machines to shuffle them a certain way.
Yeah.
And then they were giving a cut of the proceeds to the mafia so that the mafia could go and enforce and collect on the bets. I mean, this is a Law and Order episode. If we saw this on Law and Order, we'd say, ha, there's no way that could happen. And yet, you know, here we are.
So, Brad, is it your understanding that the mafia was the one that, you know, set up the tables and all this, or was it the NBA guys and the mafia were just enforcers?
Well, at least what's been publicly reported, there was the Gambino family, the Genovese family, and the Bonanno families, which are, of course, all mafia families. They were the ones who already had the tables and the equipment,
right,
and the altered devices. So they were, you know, here, use our equipment. We're not using it. And then it was being used to shake down these other people. But this was run by the mafia families, at least what's being publicly reported.
Yeah.
And these NBA players were just brought in, you know, as eye candy.
Yep.
So that people would want to come and play the game.
They called them face cards.
Yes.
So that was the nickname they had for these, for Bill, Chauncey Billups, for Damon Jones. So it's like adding legitimacy to the game, because here are famous people at this poker table with you. So it must be a real thing. It must be legit. That's the way it was set up.
Yeah, and these people are facing serious charges. I did a little math a little while ago, and on the conspiracy to commit wire fraud, which is charges against Rozier and Damon Jones, up to 20 years for each count. Conspiracy to launder money, again, both cases up to 20 years for each count. There's something called the Hobbs Act, which prohibits extortion or conspiracy. That's anything that has to do with the mob. That's also up to 20 years per count. So these are serious charges. And, you know, the feds usually don't bring charges unless they have overwhelming evidence. I haven't seen the actual indictments yet. They've not been released, but I'll be looking those over when they're publicly available. But I'm assuming that the evidence here is extraordinarily detailed.
Thank you for listening to On Deadline, your radio news from Odyssey. On Deadline is written and produced by me, Christy Strasser, and by Lauren Berry. Subscribe wherever you get podcasts.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.